Fasting is not a subject that's close to my heart, as you can probably tell, you know. I'm a bit of a hobbit. Second breakfast suits me. Kind of some porridge at kind of 7, 8 o'clock, and then a rolling bacon maybe at 10 o'clock, followed by a nice lunch, going into afternoon tea, and then, yeah, kind of hearty supper. I played rugby for many years, and it was fine when you were playing rugby, but when you didn't, then you can tell that the outcome over the years, the appetite hasn't gone, but the amount of exercise and energy to diminish that appetite isn't quite the same anymore. Fasting for transformation. You know, fasting was one of the practices in the ancient world and still is a practice of many today in the world around us. In fact, Ramadan for the Muslims will start in the next few weeks, the fast before you get to Eid al-Fitr, part of their big story. And for us, obviously, Easter is coming and Lent will begin a week on Tuesday. It will be Shrove Tuesday, the day you're shriven, you shrive, you're shriven of your sins, you confess your sins before the magnificent fast comes 40 days before Easter. And some, you take those practices seriously. I struggle to give anything up, so I generally take something up, maybe contribute a little bit more to charity or try and do a little bit of more goodness at that time of the year. But it's that sense of kind of, you know, fasting, transformation for life, as it were. It's not just a hollow practice, it's a practice that should result in transformation. It's a practice that should see change in the world around us. And that's what Isaiah's having a go at in these people. You can do all the religious worship we like, but if you're not shaping change in your community, looking for peace, for justice, then what are we about? You know, the core purpose of God's people is to be salt and light, to shape change in the world around us. Stand fast, the big problems of the world, Epstein, Mandelson, and so on. There will be a justice, and justice will come, because God is a just God, and the arc of the universe bends towards justice. I was heavily frustrated yesterday. A football team is 7-0 down in the final quarter of the game, and the coach is shouting from the sidelines, "You're hopeless, you're rubbish, I shouldn't have selected you, you're a disgrace to the team colours." It's that kind of sense that Isaiah is trying to engender in the congregation he is speaking to. And it's easy to kind of point a finger and to say, come on, do better, do better, do better. But actually, it's a message of encouragement, because when you come to those wonderful last verses, those few chapters of Isaiah are called the little book of consolation, where God comes through and says, even through all the troubles and the difficulties and the challenges, it'll be okay, it'll be fine, I'm with you, I'm for you, and things will be good again. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then sings my soul, snowdrops, Katina, that kind of whirl of, then sings my soul, your righteousness will go before you. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I, here I am, I'm with you, I've never left you, I'm always, always with you. It's a word of encouragement as much as it's a word of challenge to people in their time. I'm very blessed to live on the seashore in the parish. I was once a parish minister of all those years ago. And from my window, I can see the lighthouse, towered lighthouse. I can see it. It's been there for nearly 150 years. And we can hear the foghorn when the fog comes. You can hear it. You can see it. It's there. It's been standing tall and proud for that length of time, warning ships. Yeah, you're coming into a very tight bit of the land. Yeah, be careful. Don't come anywhere in this little bit here. A light shining in the dark, guiding vessels to safety and beyond. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of the world. Salt and light. I was privileged to be the minister in the little parish of Toward, spelt Toward, T-O-W-A-R-D. Beautiful little Highland chapel, almost on the seashore. It's quietly been there too for 150 plus years, and still is there today, offering hope to the people in that little community. Sadly, some of its sister congregations have gone. One of the churches that I looked after in Inelin, home of the famous blind preacher George Matheson, oh love that will not let me go. Sadly, it's gone. It's now a home, a family home, but we've not lost the building. The building is still there. Someone's taken it, they've transformed it into something else. We've lost the hiker, but still, there is a community of faith, Cowell Kirk, shaping change, salt and light in that part of the world. Here we do more than just we imagine by being there. When we're there, we shape, change, we challenge things just by our very presence. Yeah, we can bring goodness, we can bring hope, we can bring faith, we can bring love. It's felt for a long time like the sea of faith has gone out on the traditional churches, the sense of, wow, where are the people? Where are the young people? What is happening? Where is God in the world around us? But we're gently seeing a quiet revival, and I can vouch for that, because I have young men and women all the time coming forward, asking to find out, to learn a little bit more. What is this faith? What is this hope you have? What is this love you have for the world? Several young men were baptized in the pool at Sandhurst, the Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst. Several young men came forward and were courageous place to stand up and say, I want to be a Christian. Baptize me in your pool amongst your directing staff, the sergeant majors and others, people that train them there, and amongst their peers. Wow, there is a gentle and a quiet revival going on out there, gently and carefully. God is working in the world around us because people have continued to be salt and light. Your worship isn't hollow. Our worship just isn't for today. It shapes change. It brings transformation. When God's people return from their exile, going back to Isaiah, their gratitude to God fails to translate into turning away from behavior that had been their downfall. They'd forgotten God. They'd forgotten what was good in life around them. And before they knew it, they were in a guddle. They were struggling. They were struggling to find a way through the life that was theirs to live. They stepped up the religious observance. They were upset that God didn't seem grateful. But Isaiah points out, as does Micah, as does many of their prophets, that no amount of fasting can offset the injustice that the world inflicts on the disadvantaged. Get out there, shape change, be an agent of change in the community around you. Treat your workers better, get actively involved in improving the lives of the poor, the homeless, stand up against injustice. And we've done that as a church forever. Wherever we are, we work in the margins of society. The moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, that's a mouthful. Wow, what a privilege. She's coming to visit and she's going to come and visit us. But I had to put just a little blurb together just for the people we're going to visit to say we're coming. And I was just digging some of the stats. The Church of Scotland, massive organisation. With an influence beyond its kind of, immediate numbers. You're talking 250,000 members, but punching into a bigger society, a million plus and more. It still has one of the largest social responsibilities, social care, social work services in Scotland across the land. Probably is still the largest social care service provider. In the margins of life where it matters, dealing with the homeless, dealing with people who are hurting for whatever reason, the difficulties that life brings and more. So putting our money where our mouth is, actually seeking to shape change, seeking to bring, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, and more. It's actually quite, wow, goodness, there is still goodness in the world around us. We are still challenging all that should be good about the world that we live in. And then we come back to salt and light. That wonderful metaphor of salt. We almost taste it. Taste it on your lips. I live in the seashore and you can often smell the salt air. It's just a beautiful thing. When I was in Germany, I spent 5 good years in Germany, courtesy of Her Majesty at the time, and we lived in a place called Bad Salzuflen. and Bad Salzuflen, the salt kind of town, that these fantastic, massive structures, whether you've been to that part of North Germany, it's all about kind of well-being, health. These massive structures, almost the size of the church, in a kind of an inland area with twigs on them that they dribbled water down. And when you did that, it released this kind of scent of sea air, salty air. And you kind of almost smelled like you were at the seaside. Really, but it was good for you. You felt better. You felt alive. You felt more enriched and so on. And I do feel alive and enriched when you're on the seashore, because your imagination changes. Standing on the seashore, the possibilities of life and more. What's over there? What's over the horizon? If I get in the boat, where do I get to? All those kind of human questions are kind of in that space. But that sense of salt and the wonderful, glorious properties of light, you know, salt that heals, salt that flavors, salt that preserves and more than just being trampled into the ground for kind of almost the composting kind of process. Yeah, but that's who we are. We're salt and light, whether we like it or not. St. Andrew's has stood in this corner for coming up to 100 years next year, proclaiming that there is a God, there is a place where we can be together, have fellowship, and support that sense of God's goodness in the world around us. You know, far from suggesting that we're only fit for composting, Jesus is urging the essence of life-giving, growing kind of goodness that will shape change, bring growth and abundance in the world around us. It doesn't really feel like that at the world we're living in just now, but God is moving. God is alive. God is well. I see it day and daily. People's lives are being transformed by the goodness, the beauty, the love of faith. And our job to be faithful, to continue to sing that song. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art. Capture that. Feel it. Let it shape change in your heart today. And give that back to the world wherever you go. Because life can be good. Life can be beautiful, as they say. God loves us. God cares for us. He wants us to continue to be salt and light for the world and for the people around us.